As I was looking through my dresser in my room, I found a crumpled up piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, it said the three M's. And it was a short talk that I wrote about 4 years ago. And so maybe I was meant to be a preacher and didn't even know it if I was trying to write short talks four years ago. Who knew? But it goes to show that those three M's were something that bothered me back then, and they still bother me to this day. Those three M's stand for music, movies, and maturity. I'm not sure if it was really a short talk or just a paper that I wrote out of frustration. I was so upset that how could my friends go and listen to those songs and watch those movies, but my parents wouldn't let me go and watch those movies. They could see those movies that were filled with inappropriate things, but I couldn't. But now today I'm thankful that my parents didn't let me go and listen to those songs and didn't let me go and see those movies. And so many times today, Christians think that they can listen to whatever songs they want or watch whatever movies they want. But the truth is that we're only fooling ourselves. We cannot pretend like these things do not affect us, because the things that are on TV and the things that we hear do affect us. I'll start out by talking about music as the first M. Have you heard some of the songs that are on the radio today? The artists are able to sing about anything they want. And when I mean anything, they can sing about anything. As of January 7th, 2009, iTunes made it where they canceled all restrictions put on songs. No limits to how many cuss words that artists could sing about. All the sexual innuendos, they didn't filter any of that out. No restrictions on the songs that the artists could make. And there are no limits to how nasty that those songs could be. It is such a perverse generation that we live in. And let's see what God has to say about being perverse. Look over in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 32. Proverbs chapter 3. And in verse 32, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but a secret counsel is with the upright. Look across the page at Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. And lastly, look over in chapter 28 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28. And in verse 18 says, whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will fall suddenly. We do not want to be like the perverse people of this world, listening to things that really do not benefit us at all. We see what happens to the perverse person. Listening to those songs are just baby steps to being a perverse person by listening to those things. When looking up some statistics on just how many songs contained at least one swear word, I found that about 90% of all songs that are on the radio contain at least one swear word. 9 out of every 10 songs is hazardous to our spiritual health as Christians that we're listening to. And out of those 90%, that excludes like the classical music that don't have any words. And when I looked up one of the famous rappers that is out there, his name is Lil Wayne, and he only has two songs that do not contain any swear words. Two songs. And out of all the songs that he is featured in and sings, he has 725 songs. 725 songs, and only two of those don't have any swear words. When I looked at those two songs, I couldn't even get down halfway through the page because they were filled with so many dirty sexual innuendos in those songs. And it just shows how perverse the world is today. And then when people tell me, well, I don't really hear the words, I just like the beat, or I don't pay attention to what they're saying, maybe you don't, but after a while, you start to realize that you're singing that song. in Bible lab, one thing that I just didn't like at all was memory verses. They would have us, after every chapter, we would have a memory verse from that reading. And it would take me 2 weeks down in Bible lab just to memorize one verse. And how I would memorize it was just saying it over and over and over again. And that's how we memorize things. We say them over and over and over again. And if we're singing these bad songs that are filled with trashy words, what do you think we're going to be thinking on and memorizing? It's those words that we're saying in those songs. And then when we're repeating those bad songs, they easily get lodged into our brains. Think about the songs we sing here at church most often. Everybody here probably has a song, "I'll Fly Away," memorized. It's through repetition. We have it memorized. Look over in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Paul is talking about the good things in this verse that he wants the people to do by meditating on those things. But if we're dwelling on the evil things that are mentioned in these songs and the filthy words, what do you think we're going to be meditating on? Those things. That's why he wants us to focus on whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure. Those are the things that we should be meditating on, not the things that we hear in those songs. Look over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect to the will of God." We cannot let the world be influencing us, but we need to be staying focused on what is acceptable to God. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 1. "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in the lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispositions, speaking evil to you, of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." Enough of doing those evil things that it says in verse 3. We cannot just go with the flow as it says in verse 4. We have to live according to what God would want us to do. Sometimes I'm very guilty of this happening with music. Over the summer, I would notice that I would begin to hum a song, not even knowing the words because I can't memorize anything, so it's not like I know the words. But I am just humming the beat of that song that is just filthy. And when Kayla was here over the summer, me and her both, we don't sing the words, but we just hum the tune of those songs. We both would be so quick to snap back at each other, "Hey, you can't sing that song. That song's inappropriate." But yet we would both do it. And it's so easy to fall into that snare of singing those inappropriate songs or just humming those tunes. And it's so easy to fool ourselves into thinking what we're doing isn't that bad. But really, the music can be influencing you more than you think, as Mr. Mike would always tell me in the class downstairs, he would say, who's influencing who? It's meant with more friends, but in this case, the same thing goes for music. Maybe the music that you're listening to is influencing you more than you think. We cannot be like the people of Judah and be blind to the sin that we're in. Look over in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, and starting in verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside, and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him, who is full of days. Verse 12, and their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. The people of Judah, as it says here, didn't know how to blush. They didn't even feel ashamed at what they were doing wrong. Hopefully when we're listening to those songs, we at least know that that's wrong, that we're not callous to the sin, and we're able to realize that what we're listening to is wrong. Now that's it for the music part. Now I'm switching to the second M of movies. If we don't listen to the songs or the radio when we're in the car, something that a lot of us do is go out and see movies. Everybody here has probably seen Harry Potter. I mean, let's admit it, we've all probably seen at least one of the Harry Potter movies, or at least have read the book. And movies are something that we all watch. Something that Kayla was telling me about, she drove by a church down in Florida, and on the sign it said, God is the Potter, not Harry. And I thought that was pretty funny. And it's alluding to the verse in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 21. I'm not going to take time to turn there, but it says that God is the potter and we are the clay. Movies are so good, but yet they're one of the worst things for the Christian's health. This is something that really bothers me, is that Christians think they're invincible, that they're able to visually block out the sin that they see in movies, because we want to watch what we want to watch. We're mentally strong, and we're able to block it out, or at least that's what people think. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So many times we act as children, wanting to do what we want to do. What it's talking about in this verse is that that making mistakes before we were Christians is expected. We didn't know the difference between right and wrong. But we're baptized now, and we should know better to not make those mistakes. We cannot give in to our lusts and temptations with those movies. And in those movies, if it's not the language that we're hearing, it's the sexual scenes. And if it's not the sexual scenes, it's nothing that can benefit us as a Christian. One thing I don't get is why you want to put yourself in a situation, setting yourself up to sin. Seeing a movie that you know is probably borderline bad for you to be seeing, but I want to see that movie, so I'm going to go and see it anyway. Sometimes we lower our standards so we make it right with ourselves so we can do what we want to do. So many times I think about it, we get so close to that. If there's an imaginary line with sin, we get so close to it, and we're just flirting with that line, and we say, well, it's only brief language. Well, there's only a brief sexual scene. Well, there's only strong language. Huh? There's only brief nudity. Well, if we get so far, we think we're still close to that line, but if we just stop and look, we started over here. And we're so far off that line of sin, and we just are blinded by what we want to do when we see those movies. Look over in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Think back to when you became a Christian. You knew the difference between right and wrong. And we should keep that in mind when we're making these decisions about what movies we are going to see. Once again, people use the same excuse that they use for music, that it doesn't affect me, or I can block it out. This is truly almost impossible to believe. Once you see something, that image stays with you for almost the rest of your life. It's so hard to get those images that you see out of your brain. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, as we talked about earlier, meditating on those things that from movies. Why would you want to focus on those things that you're seeing in the movies? What good do you gain from focusing and meditating on the things that we see in those movies? That is why it annoys me to no end when I see Christians that think they're able to handle whatever movies they want. And then it just gets into a bad cycle of, well, I saw that movie, so I can handle that. That one was a PG-13 movie. I think I can handle a rated R movie then. And that's a bad mindset to get into. Why would you want to put yourself in a situation to sin? We cannot be like the people of Judah who were not even ashamed, and they didn't know how to blush when they were sinning. We must realize that what we are watching and what we are listening to is wrong. That's when we really just have to be mature enough to say no to what we're watching and listening to is wrong. Look over in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We all have room to grow. If we struggle with this, first step is realizing that we do struggle with watching movies, that we fall into the temptation of seeing them, and then knowing that we still have room to mature and saying no to those movies and songs. Going back to that line story, we can't keep on lowering our standards to justify what we want to watch. We have to be mature enough to face the facts and live correctly. Now going on to the final M of maturity. When I came up with this, I probably just came up with something clever, three M's, just trying to come up with some music, movies, and maturity. That fit. And now, as I got older and revamped the lesson, maturity, I think, fits perfectly with what I'm trying to get across, because we have to be mature enough to realize what we're doing is wrong, but then also be mature enough to continue to follow what's right and not give in to the movies and the music. According to dictionary.com, mature means to be completed, perfect, or having full development of the mind. Last time I checked here, nobody here is perfect, so we all have room to grow and become more mature. Look over in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Everyone here is either baptized or knows the difference between right and wrong from an earthly standpoint. If we know lusting is wrong, if we know that hearing those perverse words and watching those sexual scenes are wrong, then why do we continue to put ourselves in situations to watch those movies and to listen to those words? In verse 3, it says that they used to be foolish, disobedient, deceived, and so on. But they have matured and now know that it is better to not do those things. We shouldn't be so foolish and disobedient as it says in this verse, and learn from our mistakes. And it's how we gain maturity, so that we can grow as Christians. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4, which was our scripture reading this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in their futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in that you put on the new man which was created according to God in the righteousness and holiness. We need to stop living in and of the world. We need to put away the former conduct and put on the new man which was created by God. In order to mature, we need to say goodbye to the past and start becoming a new man for Christ. We're warned about this in the Bible, as it says in James chapter 4 and verse 17, if we know what is good and do not do it, it is sin. Let's turn over there to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and in verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If we know what is right and we don't do it, it is sin. There's nothing else to it. That's why it's so easy to fall into the temptations of movies. As Christians, we cannot, because if we know what's right and we know what's wrong, but yet we watch those movies, as it points out here, it is sin. Look over in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is mature enough here in these verses to realize that he's just not quite there yet, but yet he knows that he forgets the past and is reaching for the future. He knows that there is always room to grow, and he still has some maturing that needs to be done. Now, I'm not trying to say that all songs are inappropriate for us to listen to, and we can't listen to any music, and all movies are too bad for us to see. But I really do want us to start thinking about more often that what we listen to and what we see affect us in everyday life. I want us to think twice before we go to download that song or before we go to purchase that ticket. That if we know what's right and don't do it, it is a sin. And that's why we have to be so careful with the world, with the things of this world. We know that sin is pleasing. Sin is something that we want to do. If it wasn't, none of us would be tempted. But we have to be bold enough to put on the new man and start living for Christ. And one way we can do that is by saying no to some of the inappropriate songs that maybe we like but just can't stop listening to, or saying no to maybe the different types of movies that we like to see. And at this time, we have that if you are not a Christian and would like to become one, or if you are a Christian but you have been falling into the temptations of this world and would like to repent of your sins, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing this song?